Welcome to Design Biz Survival Guide, a podcast about life and business for interior design professionals. My name is Rick Campos, and this podcast is my response to a design community eager to support, share, and inspire one another. We all know that some things simply cannot be taught in a classroom. I believe that our number one resource for information and inspiration is our peers. Join me as I sit down with industry professionals from across the country to discuss their secret to survival in the business of design. This podcast is sponsored by Perch, the design community's premier resource for appliances, decorative plumbing, and outdoor brands. Perch is dedicated to quality, service, and a heightened showroom experience, making them the preferred choice among architects, builders, and designers just like you. With locations in Los Angeles, Orange County, Palm Springs, and San Diego, their interactive showroom experience must be seen to believe. Fully functional displays and a demo kitchen loaded with top brands provides the ultimate test drive for design enthusiasts. Perch has been busy developing new, innovative ways to continue to deliver product education and sales support to designers and consumers. Be sure to follow Perch on your favorite social media platform for announcements about the many new programs, demonstrations, and exclusive events to come. For a virtual showroom tour and to schedule an appointment with a sales representative, visit perch.com. Today, we welcome Lauren Chinetsky of Czar Interiors, a Florida-based boutique firm specializing in residential and commercial design. In this episode, Lauren shares her path to launching her own design firm just 4 years ago and the growing pains associated with the development of her business and how she overcame them. We also dive into Lauren's perspective on establishing team culture, the value of continued education and certification, and how the support of family and friends contributes to her fearless vision for the future of her design business. Let's get started. Welcome to the podcast, Lauren. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Yay. Well, I appreciate that you're a fan of the podcast, and I loved learning about you, and I'm excited to share your story with the listeners. You are my first designer from sunny Florida.
Woohoo! Yeah, hopefully a good representative here. I'm a native of South Florida, so you got a real good one.
Representing Florida.
Yeah.
Lauren, why don't you start by telling us about yourself, a little bit about you personally, and then we'll dig into the business.
Sure. Well, my name's Lauren Chinetsky. I, like I said, was born and raised in South Florida, Boca Raton, Florida. And I am a wife and a new mommy of a little quarantine puppy named Luna.
Oh.
Yeah. And, I basically feel like I've been in the interior design world since I was young, because my dad's been a contractor, and he took me on to job sites since I was, you know, a young girl. So this is kind of a calling, I guess.
Oh, so you've been around it for a while.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's been, you know, a long ride, a long journey that I wasn't 100% sure I was going to go down, actually.
Right. I think I've spoken with other design professionals whose parents were in the business, and I'm always curious, like, how soon did you know? And usually it's kind of a split. Some designers say, I knew from day one that I didn't want to do it, and then it turned on me, or, you know, I was always just kind of curious.
Yeah, so I pushed against it quite a bit. When I first went to school, I was dead set on being a fashion designer, actually. Uh-huh. And I was going to go ahead and do that. I declared my major. I took the first sewing class, didn't do quite well, and was like, all right, that's out of the books here. So, you know, and then interior design had always been in the back of my mind, and I think, you know, it was just a sign to go down that road, and worked out for the best.
Cool. So did you go to design school, or did you study fashion first?
Well, I went to Florida State University, and fortunately they have both programs there at the university. So I started in the fashion world, in the fashion design program that they have, and then I was able to easily flip into the interior design program once I decided, you know, this isn't working. It took me a little longer to finish everything. That's okay.
Oh, that's kind of a good natural progression, though. I think a lot of designers, I've interviewed quite a few designers who have explored fashion first or have a fashion background. And it sounds like it's a pretty natural progression into interiors.
Yeah, I think, you know, my mom has always been interested in fashion, and she's actually an artist. So she, I guess, just introduced me into the art world. And I'd always just thought, you know, the fabrics and everything are so beautiful and wanted to do something in that world. And, you know, when you're younger, you don't realize really what interior design is, right? So I just, you know, once I figured it out, I was like, okay, this is definitely, you know, a match.
Right, right. And when you and I spoke earlier, we had the luxury of kind of chatting beforehand, but some things that I want to fill the listeners in on is that you did some travel. So as part of going to school and kind of exploring ultimately what your passion was, you got a lot of travel under your belt as well. And I'm sure that influenced, you know, what you're doing now. Tell us about that.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So I was fortunate enough in general that my parents loved to travel, not only to, you know, places in the Southeast like Charleston and Savannah, but we, at a young age, they took me to London and Paris. And then as I got a little bit older and I was in school at FSU, I was fortunate to do the study abroad program. Not once, but four times, which was a miracle in and of itself, but something I begged for.
Yes.
But yeah, I fell in love with Florence, and obviously an amazing place to, you know, be for design and fashion and art. You know, it's all there.
Right. Wow. How amazing. I know one of the things that I wish I would have done sooner is travel more, and I'm trying to catch up now. Maybe not right now, but in the last few years, I've been playing catch up, and wow, what a huge influence it has just on your mind and on your spirit and creatively. It's so wonderful. I encourage everyone to travel as much as they possibly can, always.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, I think obviously going to London at age 14 completely, you know, changed my view of the world. It was so much bigger. And then going into school and design school, having some of that background and knowing that there's a bigger world out there, there's more interesting design than the status quo, you know, you really can kind of go out of the box. I think it scared some of my professors, but it was fun for me.
Well, it's funny, I see a whole different value of travel now too, and I have over the last several years as a business owner. You value it differently. It's like that escape that you so desperately need. And, you know, as a business owner, as you are, you know, you have to go pretty far away to detach and actually decompress and get some time back to yourself. So,
oh God, yeah, no, I know. Fortunately, like my last real vacation was my honeymoon. And I basically said, that's it. No phone. So I was able to disconnect, but that might be one of the only times I've really done that.
That's funny. So let's talk about your business model. So, you know, all the design school and then the travel, and then obviously at some point, as you identified your passion for design, you also identified, obviously a thirst for business, which prompted you to start your own business. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So, I guess it kind of goes back to even just a little bit of my background of moving out to LA. And getting an internship with Kelly Wurstler and kind of starting my career out in LA. And I was out there for about like 4 years. And as kind of I progressed, I decided to move back to South Florida. Obviously, my father's in business, so there's a bit of a background there. But after being at a firm here for about 5 years or so, I helped grow the firm from three of us to about 25 of us.
Wow.
And yeah, and was really an integral part of it, and took a step back and realized, you know, hey, am I wanting to do this on my own? And bizarrely enough, a contractor outside of all of this contacted me and said, hey, I really, you know, I love your work and I have a client and it's a really big house and I need some help. And I just thought, you know, this is a sign, like, let's go for it. Let's take the leap. So that's really what pushed me to go ahead and open my own firm. But, you know, there was obviously some stepping stones in the back there that had supported me, like my father, who turned around and said, yeah, go ahead, do it. I've been doing this for however long. So
that's interesting, though, that you spent, you know, that 5 years in another design office. That's a very common story among design professionals. We're kind of split down the middle, like half of us just kind of take the leap of faith and just dive right in. And then the other half either choose to or serendipitously have the opportunity to be associated with a design firm, and a lot of times unknowingly are exposed to and are learning the intricacies of the design business, you know, so that at a certain point they can make that decision, they can take that leap, and they have that information under their belt, which is really helpful.
I think too, you know, so I mentioned working at Kelly's, but also when I was out in LA, I worked with Ryan Brown of Brown Design Group, and it's a small firm. And I think being in a small firm there, and then also being a small firm when I moved back to Florida, really forced me to wear a lot of hats and forced me to learn so much more than just, I'm an interior designer, I'm just picking things out. You know, I had to go on site and deal with construction. I there were so many times where it was just like, here, handle it, figure it out. And people sink or swim when you do that. Fortunately, you know, I was swimming.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. And I think because when you get introduced to a lot of those different parts, you realize, hey, you know, I can do this. I can actually do this. So,
yeah, that you were lucky that you had that experience and that you had that level of exposure, because I think a lot of us, that's what we need to show ourselves that we can do it. And the fact that you were empowered by the people that you worked with and you were trusted to experience those opportunities, there's a lot to be said for that.
Absolutely. No, I'm so fortunate to have worked with some really great people who were really supportive and very, very open to teaching, you know, to teaching you the ropes and how to learn how to run a business, really.
Right. And so you decided to launch your own business in 2016, right?
Correct. Yes.
Just a few short years ago.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Wow.
I know. 4 years and going strong.
That's excellent. That's excellent. And so, you know, I'm not sure. I think it's kind of cool that you're about 4 years into this. I'm trying to think about other people that I've talked to on the podcast and where they land. And they're usually more in the 8 to 10 to 12 to 15. So I think a lot of people can learn from you and your story as far as how new you are to launching the business. Are you willing to talk to us a little bit about some of the growing pains associated with starting a business? Because I'm sure quite a few of them are still pretty fresh and some of them you probably are just overcoming. And I'd be curious to hear maybe one or two of those and how you overcame them.
Yeah. Oh gosh. Yes. I'm sure there's a dozen that I could speak to. You know, I would say in the beginning, of course, the little things like learning about liability insurance and, you know, all these requirements that you sort of take for granted, right? You know, you aren't really sure that you have to have, again, insurances or whatever it is, you know, but, and also like finding an office space and all of the details that go to that. But I'd say one of the biggest growing pains I've had is staffing and, you know, taking that role of interviewing people, getting people to kind of come on board to my one-man team. And again, you know, as you mentioned, A, I'm young and the business is young, having them believe in us to be able to, you know, move forward and grow together. And, it's been one of the hardest things that we've been dealing with.
So between client acquisition and employee acquisition, you're very right. Busy.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Client acquisition is, you know, a whole other story.
I'm sure.
I'm glad that you brought up, you know, bringing on employees, because at your stage, that's very typical. You're deciding that you're going to grow your team. You're expanding and contracting and probably trying to determine your sweet spot and the size of team that it really is going to take to get you to the level of design that you're pursuing. So there's so much involved in that. And I know that so many other design professionals in your shoes are dealing with those very same struggles, because you know, finding the right fit is so important, especially in a small firm, because, you know, we see each other every day. We spend more time with each other than we spend with our own families. And then you throw in design, which is so personal and we're so passionate about.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, it's been a struggle. Fortunately, we've done well, you know, but it's taken a while to kind of get a couple girls that work with us that would really mesh. Mm-hmm. But no, it's been difficult. You know, finding someone who is really passionate about interior design too, because sometimes what you find is people who just want a job, you know, and I find that I really want someone who believes in it as much as I do and gets excited about fabrics and stuff like that. Yeah. So obviously, you know, when we're looking for people that we're going to work with or are going to work with me, you know, I really enjoy that they have a passion for interior design and get excited about fabrics and about going on site and creating new things. So that's something that I'm particularly looking for, not only having the skill set, but really wanting to do this job, you know, really wanting to be in our industry. It's not always the most glamorous, like everyone thinks, you know, there's a lot of desk work, but we have some fun events. We have some fun parties, right?
Sure. Hey, work hard, play hard, right?
Absolutely.
But I do know that a lot of design professionals share that sentiment in that while skill set is very important, that cultural fit, that fit into the family is far more important, because that can't be taught. It can't be learned. It's within. So I hear what you mean when you say, you know, hey, I need you to be passionate. I need you to geek out over fabrics. I need you to just want to do this all the time and to live it and breathe it, because that's what it takes to be a part of the team, and anything else can be taught.
Right. Exactly. And I'm so, you know, happy to sit down and teach people drafting or whatever, going on site to do draperies. But if you're not excited to learn about that, then I don't have much to work with.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, I've heard stories of, you know, design firms who have a team of very highly skilled people with just low passion. I'm not going to say no passion, but low passion. And, you know, culturally, like you said, it's just a job. It's not a career. And so it doesn't align with the principal's passion and excitement to design and grow and expand and explore. You know what I mean? There's just a disconnect. It's so important to have that fit.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, we've obviously had some bad apples in our, you know, 4 little years. It takes a while to kind of find the right fit, but we have some really good good girls working for us now, and I'm excited where we're going with it. So
that's great. That is so exciting. So what is your typical project like? Do you only do residential? Do you do residential and commercial? Are you high end? What's your sweet spot?
So we do both residential and commercial. My sweet spot's really high-end residential in kind of this Palm Beach area. We also work in Boca, but we've been doing stuff out of state as well. Mm-hmm. But I am venturing into the commercial world again. I know I mentioned to you, I recently got my NCIDQ and my Florida design license, so that allows me to be able to do that. But we recently did a clubhouse, and I just kind of got into that commercial world again and working with a different client set, and just really enjoyed it. And it's really made me want to work in hospitality. I got a little taste of that when I was working at Kelly Wurstler, and doing the Viceroy hotels. So, I mean, I was barely assisting, but it was so exciting to be a part of those projects.
Sure, sure. Very cool. Let's talk about continued education for a second. I don't want to miss that. I did make a note that you, like you said, you got your Florida design license and you passed the NCIDQ. Because we have listeners listening from all over the country and all over the world, tell us about the state of Florida. So in Florida, you need to have a design license to practice design in Florida.
Yeah, that's correct. So in order to do commercial design, you have to have a Florida design license and you have to be NCIDQ certified, not for residential, but just for commercial work. Yeah.
Right. Great. Not a lot of people talk about NCIDQ, although you are the second designer in a row that has brought it up. But before that, I don't think anyone has ever brought that up. And, you know, when I was in design school, there was a huge, you know, push to get us to take that, take it to the next level and pursue the NCIDQ certification. And I know quite a few designers that did it. I didn't do it, but I know a lot of people who have. But it's kind of been quiet for the last few years. I haven't heard much about it. And I think it's very important.
You know, I think at FSU, maybe it's the program, like you mentioned, they pushed it quite a bit that it was something to be attained, you know, really a higher level of interior design and almost proving like that you're worthy to be doing that type of design. Yeah. And I remember just having it as a bucket list almost, you know, I needed to do this because maybe because of the program or just it was something that I needed to do in my career. It took me a while. I obviously had worked for quite a bit and I just recently got it, I guess like 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. So I didn't push right away to do it after school, which is what they originally had mentioned to do. But I realized in the industry down here in South Florida in particular, that it is highly regarded. And once I kind of got the taste of commercial work, at another firm actually, I realized that it was something that I wanted to have to be able to do that in the future. You know, I didn't know where it would take me or what, but I love the fact that, you know, it's a small group of us that have it. And I've actually been noticing, I don't know if you've been noticing, but I have been noticing that other people have been taking it and are certified now more. Maybe that's in this circle in Florida. I'm not sure, but
no, it's a very cool club to be a part of. And the funny thing is I don't even design anymore, but it's still kind of on my bucket list as well, just because I don't know. I feel like it's a personal rite of passage. I'm not so concerned about what the industry thinks. And I don't think that I'll ever have a client that would ask me, are you NCIDQ certified? I don't even think they know what it is, but exactly. I think it's more of a personal goal for me and probably for so many other design professionals. So I'm glad that you brought that up and, you know, we should start a movement, Lauren, you and I.
I'm down. I'm for education for sure. I mean, it wasn't easy. I'll say that, you know, no. I was surprised at how difficult it was. You know, you think, oh yeah, I've been doing this for however many years, I'm good to go. And then you get in it and you're like, okay, well. But no, I really, after taking it and accomplishing that, it is one of those personal goals. I'm happy I did, for sure.
That's excellent. That's excellent. So let's talk about the future. What's next for you? Because I know that, you know, we talked about the path that got you here. We talked about you launching your business and growing your team. What's the big vision? What can we look forward to? And I'm looking for content to follow up with you on.
I don't know, world domination, right?
Exactly. That's what I had written down right here.
There you go. You know, I think for the future, obviously, I'd like to grow the firm to be a larger firm. I want to keep that boutique feel, but I definitely see, you know, maybe 10 to 12 employees and working on hospitality and residential. But, you know, for me, one of the goals that I'd like to achieve is getting into product design, branding, And going into that, because there's a couple pieces, you know, I started to custom design for clients and just loved it and enjoyed it. And again, you know, maybe it's that influence of Kelly Wurstler and her creativity and what she's done. But I've always thought to myself, wow, it'd be great to just kind of get some of my sketches out there and share it with the world and see, you know, see what happens.
That sounds great. That sounds cool.
Yeah.
Sounds like you have it dialed in. I want to ask you this question, because even though you have been a part of the design community for quite a few years, working for other people before you launched your own business, now 4 years into it and being a business owner yourself, what is your perspective on the design community, this new community of design professionals who are supporting and empowering each other? Obviously, it's having an impact on your business as a newer business owner now more so than the impact that it may have had on you before owning a business. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I'm shocked, honestly, you know, growing up in the business from where it was to what it is, I am surprised at the support that I've received and, you know, learning about other people in our industry. I'm so supportive of them. And I found that, you know, it sounds silly. Obviously, social media is around and we're all using it, but it really has been kind of an uplifting part of my journey, because people see some of our stuff. It's a great way to get some exposure. And, you know, those little compliments of, hey, this is wonderful, or I love this piece, or whatever it is, it really makes you feel like, hey, I'm doing the right thing, you know, and I'm joining this community. I'm joining the interior design community as myself through my vision, which is exciting for me. But again, learning about other artisans and other designers, you know, social media has honestly been such an interesting part of this new world of design, which, you know, when I was in school, we didn't have social media like that.
I know.
That didn't exist. You know, you had magazines that you would pine over these beautiful designs, but you didn't really have access to those.
We didn't have Pinterest. Right.
Exactly. that wasn't around, you know, and I mean, it sounds so silly, but Instagram is a really great source of inspiration to find new and unique pieces. Sometimes, you know, I'm in a rabbit hole and I find some amazing sconce from Belgium that I would have never been able to know about unless we would have, I don't know, maybe gone to Maison d'Objet, but
sure.
Yeah, but that has really changed our industry and I think our community of being a lot more supportive than, again, you know, when I was younger and first like doing my first internship, it was very separate, very kind of not segregated, but you felt like there was competition with a lot of the designers. Mm-hmm. And I didn't see a lot of support, and I really think that's changed a lot.
Good. I'm glad that you see it. I think it's definitely changed a lot. I don't believe in competition. I think that every designer, that we're all allies, not competitors. And so I love where the design community is going. And I think you make a really good point. I never really thought of it this way about social media. It's good for a lot of things, but it has connected us as a community. I've kind of neglected to realize that a lot of this connection stems from social media, because we're able to interact with each other so directly through that platform.
For me, I think, you know, I have a lot of local community here too, of other friends who have design firms and other just people in the industry, but the social media aspect has really broadened my horizons to other designers around the world. Mm-hmm. That, again, I feel like are supporting me, and I like to support them. I think it's great.
So let's talk about the secret to your survival. What would you say at this point has been your secret to survival in the design biz?
Well, I think this sounds a little cheesy, but it's really my family. Not only my immediate family that I can vent to and, you know, lean on for support, because it has been, you know, a journey getting here, but also my design family. Like I was mentioning, I do have a great group of interior design friends throughout the country that are in this industry that I went to school with, and also just colleagues, but also my vendors that have known me for like 8-10 years that when I, you know, decided to make this leap, called me up and they were like, we're so excited for you. This is the best, you know? And I was just so overjoyed and overwhelmed by that. And I really, you know, those are the people where you can call them and turn to them and, you know, say, hey, can I need your help? And they're there for you. So
yeah, that's your tribe. That's your tribe. I love it.
Yeah.
That's so great. I love that answer. That's not a cheesy answer. That's a wonderful answer. It's a beautiful answer. What would you say is the one thing you know now that you wish you knew then?
So this is such a hard question because I'm sure there's so many things that that I could go back and say to myself. But I guess more on like a spiritual level, like, you know, the universe has kind of got your back. You know, if you're going to take this leap, if you believe in yourself and you're going to do this, like I've always found that somehow it all just comes together. There, the support comes in ways that you would just never imagine. So I wish I would have been able to say, hey, you got this, like, it's going to be fine. And, you know, the world kind of comes and meets you and supports you where you need it. So
good advice. That's good advice. Yeah. Hopefully some people will take that advice now and save themselves some time.
Absolutely.
And how would you say that you pay it forward in the design community?
So I thought about this question, obviously your standard questions. I thought about this a lot. I obviously, you know, I haven't been in business too long. So at this point we've been able to have interns and I do love interns and helping them as much as we can. But, I've always had an inkling to want to go back and teach. My mentor in school was she was a teacher for the history of interiors. And that's always been, you know, right up my alley. And I think in the future that might be something I pursue, which it's not right now, but hopefully in the future, I'd love to work with everyone and help teach. And I just love the history of interiors. It comes back all the time in our world, our industry. So it's so fun, such a fun part of it. So I hope to do that in the future.
That's amazing. That sounds amazing. And I love the fact that so many design professionals are in that teach mode, that mentor mode. You know, I think most designers that I know, that's their favorite way to pay it forward and to give back is to just teach and inform and inspire, you know, share what you learned, share what you've learned in school and outside of school, just to help, you know, the next generation of design professionals, you know, grow.
Right. No, I know. I mean, like I mentioned, the interns that we get that are in school, I love working with them and even just saying like, did you know about this? Did you know about that? They probably think I'm crazy, but... But it's super fun for me. You know, I love sitting down with them and really showing them, hey, look, you know, stuff in school, you do apply out in the real world.
Oh, 100%. Well, Lauren, I so appreciate you being a part of the podcast. I appreciate the fact that you are a fan and that you listen to the podcast. You had such nice things to say. And I love the fact that you share with your friends. I really appreciate you. And I'm glad that you were able to come on to the show and talk about your journey and inspire the listeners.
Well, thank you again so much for having me. I'm truly honored to be a part of it and hope that my story and some of my information helps some of your listeners and provides them with a good laugh, maybe.
How can we learn more about you? What is your website and how can we find you on Instagram?
You can find us at zarinteriors.com, C-Z-A-R, interiors with an S.com. Same thing for Instagram, at zarinteriors.
Perfect. Thanks, Lauren.
Thank you so much.
So many of you have been asking to hear from designers who are in their first few years of their business to hear more about challenges and solutions associated with a new design business. When I met Lauren, I knew that her story would resonate with a big sector of the design community who have bravely taken the same leap into the business of design. My biggest takeaway from my conversation with Lauren was her approach to building her team. She said something very powerful when she expressed that she had an obligation to her team members to establish faith in her and the business that they're about to work for. This business is about passion, drive, dedication, and sacrifice. I appreciate that Lauren realized right from the beginning that those character traits must be demonstrated by you first in order to expect them in return from your team. Thank you, Lauren, for such a fun and inspiring conversation. And best of luck with your plans for world domination. It's a crowded race, but I have faith in you. This podcast episode is sponsored by ArtStar, the design industry's premier online resource for contemporary art. Their team of experts are dedicated to curating limited edition works of art by notable and emerging artists from around the globe. As a design professional, you know the impact that art can have on a project. Whether you're looking for that singular statement piece to set the mood, or an eclectic mix for your gallery wall installation, the team at ArtStar is ready to help. Each piece is signed, numbered, and authenticated, adding not only style, but value to your design project. Visit ArtStar.com to sign up for their exclusive trade program, and be sure to let them know you heard about them on Design Biz Survival Guide. I hope this podcast episode has inspired you to take your business to the next level. If you love Design Biz Survival Guide, share with a friend, tag us on social media, and if you're listening on iTunes, rate the podcast and tell us your biggest takeaway from your favorite episode. Until next time, be safe, be kind, and get out there and inspire.